we go into hour number three of our four-hour sports talk extravaganza. That is the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate 840. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will join us to talk Carolina Panther football. 9 o'clock, Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario from the BetQL Network, joins us to talk NFL football. 9:20, Fight Club with the great Milanzo. We'll take us through the world of combat sports.
I know it doesn't fit, but it was the first thing
works
that,
great.
That I found.
I said your name and you clubhorned yourself. Listen, commendable, I respect it. If you get the chance to clubhorn yourself, you clubhorn yourself, all right? You know who else deserves a clubhorn? Deserving of a clubhorn, am I ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, is our next guest. She covers the University of South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department over in Columbia, South Carolina. South Kakalaki. From the Greenville News, Lulu Kesson is here on the show. Yes, indeed, the club horn for Lulu. Good morning, Lulu Kesson. What's up?
Good morning. Oh, my gosh. I hope my dad is listening because he will absolutely love that horn thing. That's so funny. Good
yes.
morning. Happy Thursday.
Yes. Club horns for everybody. Absolutely. Let's dive right in. Obviously, last weekend, let me ask for your spin on the result of South Carolina, Alabama, because on one hand, all the props in the world, all the flowers went over there in a game that even I said, I think it's a butt whooping. I don't think this is going to be good. In fact, I told South Carolina fans, and I hope none of them listened to me on Friday. You may want to find something better to do with your time on Saturday, because I think this thing's going to get ugly ugly quick.
Going to talk about the apology.
I came on the air right. on Monday and feverishly apologized for that. Very proud of the fight, Lulu Kesson. Flowers to Shane Beamer and the boys for going out there giving it all they got. But also it kind of raised the bar for me a little bit, right? Like, I'm like, okay, that's consistently. I want to see that again. If they can go out and do that in Norman, Oklahoma this weekend, I will have a lot more optimism in this program. What was your, when that game finished and South Carolina made it an absolute fist fight in Tuscaloosa, when that game was over on Saturday and you were ready to write the write-up and put your thoughts out there on the internet for the world's stage, what were your thoughts?
I definitely think it was the first time where I truly could agree with either Shane Beamer or a fan saying that it really came down to one or two plays. I feel like Shane all season has just talked about, like, it's one thing, we're one step away, we're one step here. And I've kind of just been like, well, you did kind of five other things in the first quarter that really kind of changed the state of the game, et cetera. But, like, man, did they fight against Alabama? And you kind of have to acknowledge the fact that it really just came down to one or two fumbles, one in the second half that they could – or, excuse me, second quarter that they could have gone ahead right before halftime. And then, obviously, the fumble at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, the two-point conversion. Like, those are little one-play things that had a huge impact on the game. So I think a lot of credit to Lenora Sellers of how he played and how he handled himself. Playing in Bryant-Denny Stadium is not an easy thing to do. I'm super impressed with how they played, but I do think that adds a lot to the expectations for Oklahoma this weekend.
Yeah, and I think that's it for me, Lulu Kesson. And for years I've made the joke that I never go above expectations, because if you raise expectations, then the expectations stay there. Nobody's ever said, hey, I expect less of you from now on. You're doing a wonderful job. Do me a favor and do less of that. And of course, sports fans are in that same boat, right? Like, now that we've seen what can be done, and not just an environment where Tuscaloosa, yes, it's very difficult to play, yes, it's very loud, but against an Alabama team that got embarrassed the week before that against Vanderbilt, like, I expected them to come out. And I will acknowledge Bama was not what I expected them to be. But also, it's a real good football team, and you went there and you went punch for punch with them for 60 minutes. Now I kind of expect that, and I don't think that it is unfair of Gamecock fans who will be disappointed if you don't get the same effort execution this Saturday.
Right. And honestly, like, kind of got to give even more credit to Ole Miss for how they played, beating South Carolina in the dominant fashion that they did after losing to Kentucky, whereas we kind of didn't see that same amount of fight from Alabama after they suffered a pretty bad loss to Vanderbilt, like you said. So, yeah, I think South Carolina has struggled to find its own identity all season, especially on offense. And I think in general, like, the fan base, the team, however you look at it, is sort of like, okay, how do you want us to judge you? How serious do you want us to take South Carolina football after this Alabama game?
Lula Kessin from the Greenville News joins us every single Thursday at 8 o'clock to talk Gamecock football here on the Rob Brown Show. And the Fan Upstate, I want to dial in on Lenora Sellers, Lulu Kessin, because, you know, and Lonzo and I have been hammering this point home all week long. On one hand, it is year number one of Lenora Sellers as QB1. Number two, he missed a game and a half, the LSU game, the Akron game, because of the injury. So he's really played effectively, what, 3.5 games as QB1. I expect inexperience to jump up and bite every now and then. I expect a freshman mistake, if I may call it that, every now and then. I go back and I look at the interception that ended the game, and I'm like, man, you got to put that thing 15 rows deep, right? You got to get rid of that, throw it out of bounds, and give yourself one more play to at least have a Hail Mary chance at it, whatever. But then there were also some spots where Lenora Sellers, I think, was making good reads, was turning the ball up the field and keeping it on his own, was utilizing his body to drag defenders out of the way and open up routes that might not otherwise have been there. I can see a lot of good out of Lenoris, even though there are still a handful of those young man mistakes that are popping off the camera at us here and there. What are your thoughts on where Lenoris Sellers is, both as a player and in his development as one?
Totally. And I think a thing to look at, like you said, he's played 3 full games in 5 quarters. It's really hard to get rhythm when you're constantly kind of facing these injuries. Dow Loggins, offensive coordinator, has just asked for improvement every week. I don't necessarily know if you can say the Ole Miss game there was improvement from Sellers, but at the same time, that was his first game back from injury, so you do have to put that factor in there. But that being said, I'm very truly impressed with Lenoris lately. I think he's handling himself well in these really big situations. I think what really speaks to his ability, so the 4th-and-1 play with Mazio in the second quarter, I want to say, the touchdown that he threw, that wasn't in the playbook. They had never practiced that. Granted, not saying that's like, oh, he's the first quarterback to do anything out of the playbook, but I think that just speaks to, like, okay, he knows he has an arm, he'll use it, he trusts his receivers, which a lot of people would not have said game 1, game 2. I think he gained his confidence against LSU running the ball and using Rocket Sanders, and he saw success overall, but it really wasn't until lately where he saw himself connect in the passing game, which is obviously a huge part of how quarterbacks are judged. So I think overall, if Sellers really builds off this Alabama game, and I'm not trying to be a broken record on kind of the importance of going from Alabama to Oklahoma, but I truly think that the only way you can really assert your dominance in the SEC and prove that you are improving is to build off of a game like Alabama, where they were close at the highest stage in the most chaotic environment. And if he doesn't have a fantastic performance and isn't super assertive against Oklahoma, then it is a lot harder to judge.
We are talking with Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. Joins us every Monday to talk Gamecock football. And you can center this around Lenoris, around Rocket Sanders, around the offensive line, any way you want to, Lulu Kessin. But my biggest, I don't want to say complaint, criticism, discussion, whatever you want to call it, has been about player development under Shane Beamer, because the recruiting is obviously there. It's as good as it's been since Steve Spurrier was there. You've seen some talented guys, Xavier Leggett, Spencer Rattler, that have been won over and come through South Carolina. But I get concerned that player development is a little bit slower under Shane Beamer's tenure than it is for maybe some other coaches, guys like Dan Lanning that are jumping up into the national spotlight. How do you see the developmental program of South Carolina for guys, especially young guys like Lenora Sellers? Do you think it is working? Is it just something that's overblown? Where do you fall on that?
I wouldn't necessarily say as a blanket statement that it isn't working. I think concerns there are valid. You know, part of me does really feel like game experience plays so much into development. And at the same time, you look at the talent that Shane Beamer's returning this year. Like, he's not going to get Kyle Kennard again, who was a transfer. Like, he wasn't a Shane Beamer-built player. He's not getting Demetrius Knight again. He's losing a lot on defense, but he's keeping a lot on offense with Mazio, with Dylan Stewart, with Lenoris. I honestly think, and Josiah Thompson offensive line, I think those four and how they play, if they stay within the program, play from this year to next year will kind of be a huge test for player development with Shane Beamer, because I think those are kind of these four rare talents that he has as freshmen in the program, three of them being true freshmen. And if there isn't rapid improvement and sort of this buy-in on what they could do for the program long-term, then I think the concerns that you're mentioning are even more valid.
We are talking with Lulu Kessin here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Let's look ahead to this game, Lulu, against the University of Oklahoma. Oklahoma got embarrassed by Texas last week. In fact, I said on Monday, Saturday's interesting because it is you can draw some pretty direct parallels between Oklahoma and Alabama, right? The week before, Alabama got embarrassed. The week before, Oklahoma got embarrassed. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, very difficult place to play. Norman, Oklahoma, very difficult place to play. Alabama needed to make a statement against South Carolina. Oklahoma needs to make a statement against South Carolina. So the good news is, been here, done that, got the t-shirt, and not particularly long ago. How do the Gamecocks make sure that they bring that same energy, that they take what they learned in that last game against Alabama and apply it to Oklahoma? And how do you see this game kind of shaping up in a broad sense?
Yeah, I think the stadium comparison is valid. It's obviously fun for Shane Beamer, who worked on Oklahoma's staff for 3 years. The hotel that South Carolina is staying in this weekend is where Beamer lived when he first moved there and was looking for housing before his family was able to move with him. I think, honestly, South Carolina needs to realize that it's not about, oh, making an impression. Like, they all said, like, oh, we weren't doing cartwheels when we were, you know, down two against Alabama. And I do believe that, but I do think that this week there should be more mental emphasis. Like, hey, you have to win this game. I know that I think last I checked, they're like the 4-point underdog or something. But truthfully, I think they're better on paper right now. Oklahoma's really injured on offense. In South Carolina's defense, like, if they've played the way that they have all year, if their secondary takes away Ryan Williams and it doesn't find a way to win against Oklahoma, I think that that's when they could potentially be in trouble the second half of the season, because right now they only have 3 wins. They have 1 SEC win. They need a conference win bad. They have a bye week coming up right after this. I think Oklahoma's loss to Texas is different than Alabama's loss to Vanderbilt. And I truly just think that this is a really, really, really big road win and will speak a lot to South Carolina's identity. Not saying Oklahoma isn't a good team, but right now I take my confidence in South Carolina. And if they don't deliver, then I think it's valid to raise a lot of questions.
We are talking to Lulu Kessin. You brought up the words must win, Lulu. And here's the thing to me. This game does feel must win to me, not in terms of making a conference championship game, making the playoffs, making a prestigious bowl, none of that. It feels must win to me because if South or at least must be uber competitive. It feels that way to me because it feels that, like, if South Carolina does what they did against Alabama and then they turn around and let's say they have another Ole Miss caliber performance against Oklahoma, I'm going to, like, how do I trust that they're going to be able to keep anything moving forward at any point if they can't do it here? This game feels to me like it is a game that is, at the very least, must be competitive for Shane Beamer just to prove that the Alabama game was not a flash in the pan, right? Vanderbilt beats Alabama. They turn around the next week. They go to Lexington. They beat Kentucky. And it goes from, oh, what a fluke upset for Vandy, to, oh, maybe Clark Lee's got a little something special cooking up there in Nashville, Tennessee. it kind of feels like this is an opportunity for Shane Beamer to have that same narrative, but they've got to compete for that to be set.
Absolutely. It reminds me of the quote, you're only as good as your last performance. Like, I think it's really going to be hard for people to take South Carolina seriously and not say it was a fluke how they played against Alabama if they go out and use that to fall flat. I think a lot of people expected out of the bye week that South Carolina would come out like red hot, whatever. I think they were sluggish. I think they were sloppy. I think they were slow. Not saying that's necessarily going to happen again coming out of the next bye week against A&M. But like you said, this is just a must-win game where it falls on their schedule, where they're at in terms of their own identity. And I think it'll prove a lot one way or another.
All right, Lulu, we always end it with this way. One more time again. South Carolina goes on the road to Norman, Oklahoma, and knocks off the Oklahoma University Boomer Sooners if blank.
If their defense doesn't fall asleep. I know that's a lame answer, but I mean, they have the worst rushing. Oklahoma's the worst team overall in terms of rushing this season. They have 4 of 5 wide receivers out on Saturday with one listed as questionable, so their passing game's impacted. South Carolina's defense, man, they got to allow Lenore Sellers to get on the field and do what he can do, because if not, oof, they're in trouble.
Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department and absolutely deserves every club horn. She joins us every Thursday at 8 o'clock to talk Gamecock football, and sooner rather than later. Lulu Kessin, we're going to be peppering you with some basketball questions, too, right around the corner.
Absolutely, and that was a funny pun because of Sooner in Oklahoma.
You know what? You're my hype man now, Lulu. You are. You bailed me out on that. Lulu Kessin, you can follow her on X at Lulu Kessin with a K, K-E-S-I-N. Make sure you do, as the Gamecocks are on the road at Oklahoma this Saturday. Lulu, you are the best, ma'am. Thank you, as always.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, you will. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. Appreciate her time every Thursday. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some NFL football next. Then we flip it up on the final segment of this hour. Talk to Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. We'll talk some Carolina Panther football. Then Hayton Asmario joins us at 9 o'clock to talk about the rest of the National Football League. Then Lonzo walks us through Fight Club.
Also, stay tuned. We got some tickets to give away.
We sure do.
Before the end of the show.
We sure do.
For Furman Homecoming.
Somebody's going to see Furman footy. You know what else we got to talk about today, Lonzo? Do you know what today is? You know what today is? You know who we celebrate today? Do you know whose name shall be proclaimed throughout the course of the show today? And I'm shocked I haven't even brought it up yet.
I was going to say the show's halfway over, so I don't know.
Rat Daddy! Ugh. The Rat Daddy back in action tonight. Saints Broncos, a little Thursday night football. Talking about that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It sure is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo with you. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast coming up here in just a few minutes from right now. We'll talk Carolina Panther football with Rashad Beard. Looking up and down the NFL slate for the weekend. It's a it's an interesting one because there are some games that I think have big time narratives on the line, right? New England, Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a 5.5-point favorite. If Jacksonville doesn't win this game, and I do want to issue like a quarter of an apology to Trevor Lawrence, because I banged the drum pretty hard on TL16 on Sunday last. I banged the drum pretty hard on TL16 on Monday last. And I said I'm kind of getting to the point where I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is a franchise guy. I don't know if he is a franchise guy. I don't know if he's got it, right? But I had a couple of people text that day and say, Rob Brown, he's getting hung out to dry by his receivers. And I was like, all right, let me go check that out. I went and looked at the game, at the Jacksonville game. And those people ain't wrong. Trevor Lawrence had at least, and I missed one or two of them because it was the morning game and I was trying to get my life together Sunday morning. No, my life's got to be together by 1 o'clock. I was trying to get my life together Monday morning.
Does
or
that
Sunday
ever
morning.
Happen any day where, no. where life is okay?
No, but it doesn't stop me from trying.
Okay,
you know?
It's a goal.
I was trying to get my life together, so I apparently missed a couple. Trevor had at least three not passes dropped, three touchdown passes dropped, and listen, being an NFL wide receiver is tough. It's not easy. All right. It's a tough job. But
all right, were these easy catches?
Yes. Lonzo, when I tell you that these were just flat out dropped touchdowns, I'm not talking about like, oh, it was a, you know, diving, falling over, spinning, one hand outstretched and it hit him on a one hand. I'm talking my dude was putting it between guys' numbers and they were just dropping it. I mean, it was bad enough that I am absolutely willing to issue the apology here, because I would go one step further with that and say it's not just about the drops, but if I've got a wide receiver who breaks the trust of my quarterback like that, if I got a wide receiver who creates a world in which the quarterback is justifiably apprehensive about throwing to him because that receiver keeps putting the football on the turf, it makes the quarterback's job more difficult. It effectively allows the defense to eliminate a wide receiver without having to do anything special.
So you are blaming the team and saying he needs a change of scenery?
No, I'm blaming the wide receivers.
Okay. All right. So but you're not saying that if he was on another team, the receivers might have caught the ball?
No, I am saying that. I'm saying Trevor Lawrence ends last week's game with a win and probably a four touchdown day, or maybe not a win, but at least it's competitive. They got hammered by the Bears. Trevor Lawrence ended the day 23 of 35, 234 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. Now, pick wasn't a good one, but he probably ends that day more like 27 of 35 for 290, four touchdowns and an interception. In fact, he probably has numbers that are flip-flopped with Caleb Williams, 23 of 29, 236, four passing touchdowns and one interception day, just if he has wide receivers that catch the football. This is not me placing it entirely on the wide receivers, because there were also some real bad throws from Trevor. I mean, he just missed some guys. There are some spots where he's got guys running across the middle of the field and he's just not seeing them. And there are still a lot of concerns that I have about, you know, I'll put it this way. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is ever going to be in the same breath as Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's ever going to be mentioned in the same breath as Josh Allen. But do I think he's good enough to win? Do I think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl with the right team built around him? Yeah, I absolutely do. I think there's still plenty of missed throws. I think there's still plenty of missed open wide receivers. But TL can only do so much. If he's sticking the ball into the chest, I think it was Gabe Davis, who did have two touchdowns in this game. He also had one that hit him right in the numbers in the end zone, and he just couldn't hang on. I think Brian Thomas Jr., who has been very good and is a rookie, we have to remember, is a first-year guy. I think he had one that was going to end up being a tutty if he hangs on. I am not absolving Trevor Lawrence of struggles this year. I still think there are a lot of elements of the game that Trevor Lawrence has got to get better at. What I'm saying is, I wonder how many other games where Trevor Lawrence finishes with, like, you know, 215 yards and a touchdown, where that number realistically should have been more like 275 and three touchdowns. Because this game against Chicago should have been. I'm not saying they would have won the game. I'm saying the fact that they got blown out, Trev missed some guys, but some guys missed Trevor too. I wanted to circle back around, and I wanted to say, I want to offer like a 28% apology to Trevor Lawrence. There's still a lot he's got to get better at. There's still a lot that he's missing on. There's still a lot he's getting wrong. But there's also a lot of guys around him that are getting it wrong. It turns out, I think Jacksonville just maybe isn't as good as we thought they were going to be. And he is part of the issue. But I'm going to give him a lot of leeway.
How good did you think they were going to be? I mean, did you really think they were going to compete for at least a win there?
Yes, division. Okay. Yes. I didn't say they would outright win it. I thought they'd be in the hunt for it. And certainly what I can tell you is, I did not for a second think that at this point in the season, we were going to be looking at a Jacksonville Jaguars team that's 1-5. If you'd have told me 2-4, and if you'd have told me, 3-2, I'd have been much more on board with that. 1-5?
Competing with that number one spot with Carolina.
They lost to the Browns, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what else to say with that. All right, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us next to talk Panther football on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Every Thursday morning at this time, we are joined on the stream by one half of the Panther Nation podcast to talk Carolina Panther football. Up the road we go to Charlotte, North Carolina, to welcome in the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Rashad Beard, joins us here to talk a little Big Cat football. What up, Shad? How we doing, big dog?
What's going on, guys? Man, just another week of football.
Another week of football. Is that just how it is for you right now? It's just like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, this is how it is, man. It's hard to get excited. We hit the peak after that Raiders game, got really excited, and then, you know, kind of back to reality here with the current version of the Carolina Panthers. So that's kind of where we are.
It is, man. Like, I go back and I looked at the, you watch the Cincinnati game, and again, I think Cincinnati's a better team than the record indicates, right? Like, I think Cincinnati's going to be around at the end. I'm not calling the playoff run, but I think they'll be around. And you're competitive in that game, and then you turn around the next week, and it's like you forgot every damn thing that you learned in that run up. What do you chalk that up to?
I don't know. I do not know. It's frustrating. I think it really largely depends on the team we're playing and the type of defense we're playing. Atlanta's defense is not the best, which is why I believe we were able to hang with them. Obviously, we couldn't score enough points to keep up with them to win the game. But defensively, the Falcons aren't that great, which is why we were able to hang. Prior to that, when we start to play these tougher defenses, we're going to look like we don't belong. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. You're relying on a defense that isn't very good at the moment, doesn't have the pass rush that it needs. So I don't know. I think just largely to the level of competition, to be honest.
It's interesting to me because I agree with you. I think Atlanta. I was wrong on Atlanta. It's gonna be a fine offense. They're gonna be able to put up points, but defensively they'll give them away. We saw that in that game against New Orleans. We saw it against you guys. Like, points are on the board. I guess my frustration is the argument. One of your listeners in the PMP Army a couple of weeks ago made the argument that you make the switch to Andy Dalton so that Dave Canales could show that his system works, even if not under Bryce Young. And then we turn around, run it back a week later, and it's like, oh, maybe not, right? And so I'm kind of conflicted on, is the Vegas-Cincinnati game Carolina Panthers the real deal, or are the Panthers from this past weekend the real deal? And it's frustrating to me, Rashad, because, you know, we know ball, and ain't neither one of us got an answer right now, and it's a little frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And let me just be clear. I don't think this offense would look as good with Bryce under center. I do think Dalton is the much better quarterback, and I do believe that Dalton gives us the best opportunity to win. However, we are still ending up with an L at the end of the day, right? And so we're still in the same spot we were, whether Bryce Young is the starter or not. I had a big argument on the show. We go live every Tuesday, by the way, every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. We had a big argument on the show about this situation, about what we do moving forward. And if we're going to end up in the same situation with an L at the end of the day, and I do understand losing with a little bit of swagger helps, right? I.e. the Falcons and the Bengals games. But at the end of the day, you need to figure out what the deal is with Bryce. And, you know, Canales keeps saying that Bryce Young he's going to be around for the long term. You're not going to trade him, blah, 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 blah. And you got to find out if he's – I mean, there's no better experience than live action. And if him just sitting on the bench watching Andy Dalton is not going to help much. You got to get him out there. And let's know by the end of the season whether we need to move on or not, because we don't have time for us to wait. Let Andy Dalton play through the season and then throw Bryce Young back out there again in next year. And then we're right back in the same spot. Let's know by the end of the season if Bryce Young is the guy. So get him out there and let him sink or swim.
Talk to me a little bit about that, because I got to tell you, the more I watch this play out, the more I'm starting to believe, and I appreciate Canales' power of positivity out there. Talk to me a little bit about your belief that Bryce Young will be a Carolina Panther and will be QB1 next year.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that Canales is going to go get his guy. I'm a firm believer in that every coach needs the opportunity to get their own guy that they can go down with, right? And unfortunately, fortunately for Canales, he didn't pick up either Dalton or Bryce Young. So he has the opportunity to go out there and get his own guy, which I do believe is going to be the case. I believe he's going to go out there and get his own guy. I just don't know that Bryce has it. And I know that Panther Nation feels that, right? Panther Nation is out on Bryce as a whole, and that's okay. But I need Canales and the leadership in the organization to also back being out on Bryce, and that does not appear that they're fully out. They still got one foot in the door. So let's let him play for the rest of the season, see what you got. And if he ain't got it by the end of the season, either he's gonna either one improve his stock or destroy his stock. But at the end of the day, who cares? The stock is about, we need to care about the Carolina Panthers stock, and right now it's down. It's way down. So we need to get it better. So I believe ultimately believe Canales will get his own quarterback.
I'm interested in that, and I'm starting to lean that direction as well. We had somebody in the chat point out a second ago, of course, this defense isn't going to be any good when you have seven starters out. I mean, listen, there's no denying, Rashad Beard, that you guys are as banged up as any team in the league right now, which makes it even more difficult. Forget winning, just to look like a competitive NFL team. Is there any part of you that makes the results you're getting easier to accept, knowing, hey man, if we were fully healthy, it wouldn't look like this?
Sort of. I can harken back to game one though, when we did have Derrick Brown and Shaq Thompson, and we still got 40 something points put on us. It's one of those things you're not going to know, right? It is unfortunate. I believe Derrick Brown is the best player on the team, so obviously him being out there on the field is going to impact the results. So ideally, yeah, it'd be nice to have him and Shaq and all the other guys. You know, we are getting some guys back. Dane Jackson's practice window is open. You know, Sam Franklin, who is an elite special teamer, he's coming back. So we do have some guys coming back. Don't know when Wanham is coming back. We have no clue with him. Clowney should be working his way back. So we should be able to get better defensively as we progress throughout the season. So that shouldn't be a problem. So there is a little hope with the defense for sure.
We're talking to Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us every Thursday at this time to talk Panther football. As we look ahead, Rashad Beard, to the back half of the season, let's kind of set some goals. We're obviously now just at the one quarter mark, but it's not exactly like everything's going to get super easy for you guys the rest of this ride here. You still got a handful of divisional games. You got Jaden Daniels in the Commanders. You got to go out to Denver, and I'll tell you, Bo Nix looks a hell of a lot better than I thought he was going to this season. You got New Orleans coming to the house. You got a Giants team that loves to run the football right down your throat coming to the house. If I told you right now you could see some development, like pick one spot you want to see the most development on the football field for Carolina, let's say over the next 3 or 4 weeks, what's your emphasis?
Man, I would like to see us run the football more. I came up here last week and said, hey, you know, we need to get Chuba Hubbard to run the football at least 25 times a game. That's not happening. He is one of the top five rushers in the league right now, and he's not getting the touches he deserves. And I believe firmly if we continue to run the football in the Falcons game, we would be sitting potentially with a W. We were only down 8 points for Andy Dalton through the interception, which basically ended the game. So I want to see us run the football more. I'd like to see Jonathan Brooks out there. He's getting ready to his practice window has also been activated. I also don't think he's going to get a ton of work, but I would just like to see him out there get a couple of reps, get his feet wet to see what we have going into next season. The rest of the season, like you said, is about development. Defensively, I don't know what we're going to do, if we're going to stick with Evero or not. You know, I that's a tough one to call. Obviously, Salah's out there. He's going to be available, so I can see us making the call there. But quarterback-wise, it would be nice to see Bryce Young turn the corner. I don't think that's going to happen. But if I had to put it on a wish list, let's throw it up there.
All right, a couple of guys I want to get your thoughts on, and then we'll let you go. The first is John Brooks, who you brought up a second ago. The window's open does not mean that he is playing this week or next week, just that he's in that window to make a return. I kind of like adding that dynamic. This kid can do a little, has a little bit different game than Chuba Hubbard does, is an excellent pass catcher out of the backfield, so I'm interested there. And the other cat is a guy that I think is starting to show some flashes, a guy you and I were both really high on, and that's Jalen Coker. We both talked yep. about him a lot in the preseason, and we're kind of waiting for him to get involved. What do you think the impact of those two young cats is going to be?
Yeah, man, I'm interested. I think that, you know, Miles Sanders is basically looking at his replacement right there, because everything Miles Sanders can do, Jonathan Brooks is good at too. He can catch out the backfield. So basically everything you see, when you see Miles Sanders leak out and on a wheel route, that's going to be Jonathan Brooks moving forward. So I think that he's going to be great. I think he can run between the tackles. He's elusive, good vision. So I'm excited to see Jonathan Brooks out on the field. I think it's going to be a big impact. He could go back to the double trouble years. You know, when the Carolina Panthers were great, we've always had two running backs. And so I believe we can get back to that if we decide to keep Chuba Hubbard moving forward. But I want to manage expectations there with Brooks, though, because I don't think he's going to get a ton of reps. I think he's going to be just kind of ease back in coming off the ACL. You don't want to do, it's mental for him, right? We don't want to get him out there and lose everything. He's lose his confidence while he's out there. With Coker, man, yeah, Coker's a good route runner. Want to see more of him. I think he is the Adam Thielen replacement. If you think of what Adam Thielen does, Coker does that as well. Not the fastest guy in the world, but he's a very good route runner. Solid in open space. I believe Coker is our basically wide receiver two of the future. I don't know if he can creep up to wide receiver one, but he's best case for Coker, I believe, wide receiver two. So let's see him continue to develop. That's what I see out of those two guys.
And last one, Xavier Leggett starting to kind of get comfortable finding that end zone, boy.
Yeah. Leggett, man, I love the celebration dance, man. I was doing it in the stadium when he scored. So the
will you do it right now?
The horse.
Will you do it right now? Will you show it to us right now?
Yeah,
man. He's doing it. You can't see he's doing it.
No, I need to. There it goes.
There it is.
On the horse.
Let's go.
I love it. I love it. Again, we've been needing a wide receiver, one around here, and I believe he's turning the corner. And again, I understand that's why you play Andy Dalton, right? You're probably not going to see those flashes, but the good news is that those guys are going to be around for a while, right? You can develop those guys over time. I believe the quarterback position needs to be fixed. But at the end of the day, man, those guys are going to be great. I do believe we have a solid core moving forward. We just got to struggle through this to continue to struggle. I mean, that's just where we are as Carolina Panthers. We're struggling right now.
By the way, I saw you bar in the Army dropping by saying me and Zoe look like the new kids on the block. I'm a little hurt. I'm going to get through it, but I'm a little hurt.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm too old for new kids on the block. Probably like the Osmonds. You know, if we
all right,
go,
you're making it worse for you. You're making it worse for you.
No,
stop.
No, if we want to get as vanilla as we can, you can't get more vanilla than the Osmonds.
Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us every Thursday at 8:40 to talk Carolina Panther football. My man, good luck. See you Thursday.
Yeah, man. Hey, it's going to be rough sledding. I do think we lose to the Commanders, by the way. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. Rest of the way is going
to
be tough.
You lose to Rob Brown's Rookie of the Year bet, Jaden Daniels. Ain't no shame in that game, he's son.
He's cooking right now.
He is.
Must be nice.
I feel bad. Rashad Beard for the Panther Nation podcast.
He does not feel bad.
No, he does not. Look, he's
no,
so,
I'm telling you, don't feel bad.
I got stuck, but I'm here.
Look, his computer felt bad. He's like, let me just take Rashad down.
Man, I wish he'd get that thing out of his eye. It's just like, you know, it's just pulling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Jaden Daniels of Sports Flashes, Lonzo.
That new kid's out. Come on. New York Liberty are on the cusp of winning the WNBA championship after an 80-77 win over the Minnesota Lynx. Bet you didn't know they were still playing. In game three, Sabrina Ionescu, not Caitlin Clark, knocked down a three from 6 foot behind the line with 1 second left in the clock as a part of a 13.5 rebound, six assist night. The LA Dodgers shut out the New York Mets in game three of the NLCS, 8-0 last night. Walker Buehler made his first playoff start in years, going four innings and giving up only three hits and no runs. The Dodgers had 10 hits on the night, including home runs from Enrique Hernandez, Max Muncy, and Shohei Ohtani. Tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Eastside to take on the Eagles. It's Burns versus Eastside right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, the Fan Upstate.